I'm Donna from Claverack, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Wave Farms WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have one you don't need, and it is a Macintosh 2019 or newer, please email info@wgxc.org for more information. Thank you for your contribution.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by the nonprofit Human Connection Arts and its new Art Center. The center offers creative retreats and events to share, discover, and elevate on its 12-acre property in Earlton. Community members are invited to an open house on June 14th and 15th. Information at humanconnectionarts.org/center.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anonymous of Athens, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Ever since songwriters started writing songs, they have written songs about a rose.
About a rose.
Red roses, blue roses, old roses, new roses, roses from the south and east and west. But here's the rose song that I love the best.
The best.
Show me a rose, I'll show you a girl who cares. Show me a rose, or leave me alone. Show me a rose, I'll show you a stag at bay. Show me a rose, or leave me alone. She taught me how to do the tango, down where the palm trees sway. I called her Rosa Mia, and she called a spade a spade. Show me a rose, I'll show you a storm at sea. Show me a rose, or leave me alone. One night in Bixby, Mississippi, we watched the clouds roll by. I said, my dear, how are you? And she whispered, so am I. Show me a rose, I'll show you a girl named Sam. Show me a rose, or leave me alone.
Show me a rose.
Show me a rose.
A fragrant rose.
A fragrant rose. Make believe that you don't know me. Until you show me a rose,
a fragrant
Thank you, Groucho, for getting us off on a good start here. You are listening to Gregory Forte's Radio Museum on WGXC Acra. So what we do on this show is I bring you voices from radio's past, also some music and a recipe. So tonight, what we're going to hear is a Gene Shepherd recording from March 3rd, 1977. He's going to talk about the Jersey Devil. So with Jersey on the mind, we're going to have some a recipe from my brother Michael in his beautiful Jersey City accent. So let's listen to some tunes and get ready for Gene Shepherd.
Out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. And the lucky old son ain't got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray. But the lucky old son ain't got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Lord above, can't you see I'm crying? Tears are in my eyes. Send down a cloud with a silver lining. Take me to paradise. Show me. Lead me across and take all my troubles away. And like the lucky old son, I'll have nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. And like the lucky old son, I'll have nothing to do but roll around heaven all day.
Thank you.
So, as promised, I am going to play a segment of a Gene Shepherd recording. Gene Shepherd did overnight radio in the 60s and 70s, wrote books, movies, was a great storyteller. Tonight he's going to tell us a story about the Jersey Devil. Again, this was recorded in 1977. It's about a 30-minute segment of a longer program that ran from midnight until, I believe, 4:30 or 5 a.m. Anyway, so let's enjoy the Jersey Devil together, and I'll join you on the other side.
Some elements of the following program which may be exceedingly distasteful to the more intelligent and fastidious among you. We thought we'd throw this disclaimer in. And you can't be too careful these days. Almost everything is adulterated, right? And tonight's program, however, deals with an emerging phenomenon which we must take cognizance of from time to time, and that's the evolution of the state of New Jersey. And I would like to salute tonight Jersey. A typical aesthetic problem in Jersey has just surfaced, for those of you who don't know much about it. Have you followed the Fat Mary controversy? Well, you don't know the controversy of Fat Mary? Well, for those of you out of town, this is a classic confrontation between the forces of good and evil in Jersey. The forces of art and the slob world are always coming into great conflict openly in Jersey. You don't see it like this in other states. And so here we have, from the Newark Star-Ledger, I am quoting a piece that, in a sense, is the quintessence of Jersey life. Members of Bloomfield, that's a town in Jersey, for those of you who don't know this, members of Bloomfield's clergy are waging a campaign against the name Fat Mary's by a local bar and restaurant housed in a 300-year-old building that once served as the headquarters of the town's Presbyterian Church. Well, the Reverend Merle Irwin of the Bloomfield Presbyterian Church on the Green has asked the Bloomfield Town Council not to renew the liquor license. The campaign against Fat Mary's was launched last month by a group of reverends, and not only that, it says there is a regulation for forbidding a tavern to use the name of a biblical character. And so it says that Fat Mary, it not only inflames the aesthetics of the theologians around, but also this place, the building, is over 300 years old and once was George Washington's headquarters. And now it's Fat Mary's Bar and Grill. In fact, they have a big sign that says, Booze and Bites. Oh, that's Jersey. That's Jersey. Vitality. I mean, there's a certain slob vitality to that. So we would like to salute Jersey tonight. It's done it again.
W, somebody stop me. Oh, W, if you can stop me. Oh, 1440 Broadway, 710 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station
with a 50 kilowatt smile.
Mutual, heard from near and far. This is W. Somebody stop me.
And what you're really listening to is WGXC.
Both pro and con. Remember, I'm not anti-Jew. I like this vitality. There are those who feel that Shepherd is against the slob. Not at all. I think the slob gives spice and the piquant, just the piquant savoring of life. A slob in any crowd is that little extra spice that adds to. Oh yes, the natural habitat of the Jersey slob is either in two guys when they're having a lawn sale, or standing in line at the Dairy Queen. These are the two places he
he seems to function even better than generally if you go into a Jersey body shop. You see a lot of good walking around slobs in a Jersey body shop, you know. Hey, what a rap you got there, Roy. Went, huh? Wow, that's good across all state, right, huh, buddy, huh? Back into a hybrid, huh? You got a smoothful? Well, this is a typical Jersey discussion. Which, by the way, that's a quote of an actual one that I heard one night. Oh, wow. So, I like Jersey. I love the Leaning Tower of Pizza at twilight. There's a certain uninhibited slobism about that that I just love. And the motel reaches its greatest flowering along Route 206. You see some goodies. 46 has got some great ones. Yes, the Haven of Golden Dreams Motel is on Route 46. Three little sad shacks in a row in the weeds. right next to the Carvel, and on the other side is a McDonald's. A place to spend those contemplative hours. Yes, the Haven of Golden Dreams. Well, this is part of Jersey life. And tonight, I thought that I might report to you something which may have escaped those of you that are students of Jerseyana. But there has been a resurgence, a little more of that mysterious music now, that tape. That's it. Aha. Uh-huh. Jersey has something that no other state has. And it gives a certain undercurrent to Jersey life. Jersey is the only state which is the known habitat of the Jersey Devil. I suppose you thought the Jersey Devil was any one of seven mafia leaders. Oh, no. This controversy has raged endlessly. The controversy of the Jersey Devil. And hold it there. Hold it there. Just keep that in the check there. Because we are going to tonight, as I said, you better put the kids to bed because this is a bad show tonight. Now, are you curious? No, you have heard of the Jersey Devil? You haven't? I can't believe it. You've never heard of the Jersey Devil? And you live in Jersey? Well, I don't know what part of Jersey you've been living in, friend, what hole that you've dug and you pulled it in after you, but the Jersey Devil is one of the most persistent and consistent and scary legends of New Jersey. The Jersey Devil has been seen again. For those of you who wonder why the hell I'm bringing it up now, the Jersey Devil has not only been seen, but was reported by at least a dozen reputable witnesses. Now, I don't know what a reputable witness is when it comes to testifying about the Jersey Devil. It's very hard to find a reputable witness in Jersey for anything. And if you don't think that's true, you ought to ask your local DA. But, oh, yes, many a reputable witness in the past has wound up dressed in a concrete overcoat at the bottom of the Raritan River. So it's not easy to find a reputable witness in Jersey. Oh, Jersey, oh, thou gutty state. Oh, Jersey, thy state of human yeast. Oh, Jersey, thy moiling state of incessant activity and unbelievable slobs. Oh, Jersey, thy great state stands as a legend. In fact, I think Jersey itself is the most American of states. Number of reasons. It has practically everything in it. Yeah, on the one hand, Jersey is a beautiful state in certain isolated areas. Yes, that's quite right. It is. I mean, physically beautiful in certain areas. On the other hand, you have areas of Jersey which are incredibly ugly. I don't know whether you have driven under the high, bristling, grayish sun of a typical Jersey day on the Jersey Turnpike along about exit 12 and exit 13. You see nothing but what looks like a lunar landscape. that is dotted with seems to be wrecked, burned-out hulks of old tractor-trailer trucks and belching furnaces that are belching noxious airs into the atmosphere. Purple smoke rises to the horizon. And you look down into the waters of the Raritan, and you can see nothing but a long, slow-moving, gloopy, dark river of sludge moving into a larger body of sludge known as the Jersey Meadows, where even the toads have to come up for air about every 5 minutes. And this is one side of Jersey. You know, and you drive along there with the right light and with the proper atmosphere in your head, with your mind working right, and you look out, you are on the moon. You really are. And the burned and the Jersey dumps over there. Yeah, doesn't that look good at twilight? And so this is one side of Jersey. And then of course, Jersey can manage fantastic catastrophes. Like just during the summer, Trenton. Now it is not easy for a city to be flooded out. I mean, real floods, and simultaneously have a water shortage. Only in Jersey. They did it. And so we salute Trenton as being one of the most Jersey of all cities. Ah, yes, Trenton. Oh, Trenton. Oh, Trenton. Fester on the banks of the Delaware. Oh, Trenton. Trenton, the scene of the defeat of the Hessians. Oh, Trenton. Oh, historic Trenton. You're still defeating people. But so Jersey is an exciting state. And I'd like to lay the Jersey Devil on you. If you don't know anything about the devil, okay, this is by way of educational material for Jerseyites who are, say, Jersey come latelys, and, you know, really don't know the great and historical legends of Jersey. So for those of you who don't know, I have in capsule form the Jersey legend itself. Now, first of all, it goes back almost to the beginnings of Jersey itself. This is not just a cockamamie story that was dreamed up by somebody one night who was working the Long John show. No way. This is a true legend. As a matter of fact, more than 200 years, Jerseyites have been seeing the Jersey Devil, especially on Saturday nights. And you know what Jerseyites do down at Al and Gracie's bar on Saturday night. But nevertheless, it's a continuing legend, and the actual origin of it is interesting. According to legend, a witch at Leeds in Atlantic County, you know where Leeds Point is in Atlantic County, in 1735, and this was the heyday of the witches, in 1735 was overheard wishing that her 13th child would be a devil. Well, would you please give me a little of that sneaky devil music there? A shy and gentle imp was born to her one stormy night. With cloven hoofs and a long tail, a kangaroo body, bat wings, the face of a horse, and the head of a dog. He took one look at his mother, flew up the chimney, and disappeared into the pine barrens. The Jersey Devil's loud shrieks were heard at night in the swamps for several years thereafter. This is the actual legend of the Jersey Devil. I am not making this up. In 1740, 5 years later, a clergyman roamed the pines with bell, book, and candle until he found the demon and put him to rest for 100 years. You know the legend of the bell, the book, and the candle, don't you? Yes. The creature was laid to rest for 100 years and was not heard from. And then suddenly, in 1840, the creature was seen again and became widely known. In 1906, when a newspaper said a farmer saw the Jersey Devil near his barn, hysteria spread quickly as more people in the Pineys and as far away as West Orange claimed to see the devil himself, or at least his tracks. Rewards were offered. All throughout the state for the devil's capture in the year 1906. $100,000 was offered. Dead or alive. Another man put up $500 for the devil, which he said was a rare vampire. The rewards were never claimed, but many sightings were reported. A Philadelphia publicist in 1906 charged gullible people money to catch a glimpse of the Jersey Devil that he claimed he captured. A small kangaroo painted green with a strapped-on pair of large wings. What a cockamamie. A small kangaroo painted green. I think I'd pay to see that anyway. The legendary creature never violated a law, some say. Yet a posse of armed farmers combed the swamps of Woodstown as recent as 1936. Oh, yes, this is not a thing that's past. It's ongoing. Police in another town put up a sign to stop rumors and quiet the timid in 1951. The sign said, and we quote, "There is no Jersey Devil here." You notice they didn't say there is no Jersey Devil. They said there's none here. That is until they elected that Republican mayor, and then, of course, everything changed. People of Dorothy, New Jersey, reported seeing, quote, his cloven hoof marks around town in 1960. And more recently, the devil was sighted near New Gretna and along Aurora Road in Passaic County. The Jersey Devil stalks the night trail. Okay, now that's the story of the Jersey. I'm not making it up, friend. And, this is very official. The Jersey Devil has been documented many times. And I am not taking sides in this controversy. I mean, I've crossed many a mean mother in my time, but I'm not going to cross the Jersey Devil, if such be. However, I have I once was witness... to the description of the Jersey Devil on how it was actually sighted in 1936. This is the most famous sighting of all in 1936, which occurred in the Piney Barrens. Do you know anything about the Pine Barrens of Jersey? This is part of Jersey that most people don't know much about. It's over around in the area around Atlantic City. And it's just that. It's the Pine Barrens. And, there's all kinds of interesting people live in that area. And they're called Pineys, as a matter of fact. They say that in some instances, way back in the Pine Barrens, there are people living who are barely in the 16th century, much less the 20th. And they rarely come out, and they interbreed. There's one group of people who live in the Pine Barrens known as the Johnson Whites. Did you ever hear of them? Yes. They run to albinos and people with six fingers on the hand. And, yes, it's a fascinating area. Little known, even among Jerseyites. And is exactly what the term implies. Barren. Pine barrens. Small, stunted pine trees grow for mile on end on the sandy, barren soil. Uncut by roads in many areas. In fact, I've many times flown over the Piney Barrens. One day I was flying at a low altitude, maybe 800-900 feet, which is a fairly low altitude, low over the Pine Barrens, just digging that curious scene out there. And it is. It stretches for miles, mile upon mile. And it is in the Pine Barrens that many sightings of the devil have been seen. And for good reason, because the Pine Barrens, according to legend, was the birthplace of the devil. Now, no one knows, you know, this is just a theory.
Well, I was coming along the gravel road, see, in a pickup truck, and I was driving kind of northeast, about 8 o'clock in the evening, just got dark. sunshine about October. I was coming along about 8 o'clock in the evening, had Harold with me, and we'd been out cutting wood, laying in some cordwood for the wintertime. We're coming along the road there in my Chevy pickup truck, and had a little trouble with the carburetor jets before that. We'd gotten out and we'd worked on this thing, got it going again. We're driving along, and we're heading into the woods. See, we're going out towards the Samuels house. We're driving along there when all of a sudden, out of the darkness, I see coming ahead of me. I couldn't believe what I seen, because you don't see many cars out there along. And all of a sudden, I see coming at me, right at me, this thing's coming down the road with two lights, two real bright lights, real close together. They're just like eyes. They're coming close together right at me. And they're coming on the road, and Harold says, "What's that? Is that a car coming this way?" And I said, "There can't be no car, because this is one lane thing here, and there's nobody coming this way. And there's only one house on the end of the street, and it's Samuel's house. They ain't got no car. Can't be no car." Well, at that point, this thing come closer and closer, and it seemed to be rising up and down, rising. As it rises, I see this, what looks like a kind of a flame coming out around them two eyes, coming at me like that. Well, we're getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden I hear this thing give out this sound. Ah, 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 ah. Well, I got so scared, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. This thing is screaming and yelling. It's coming right at me. I said to Harold, "Harold, my God, we're going to get out of here." And at that point, Harold hung his head out the window, and he says, "Where's it going? I can see it's going in the woods there." And all of a sudden, I see them lights again. It turned. It looked right at me, and it goes, ah, ah, ah. And it's blowing smoke and flame like that, and I drove the car right into that tree down there, and I smashed my car all up. I tell you, me and Harold just sat there for about 15 minutes afterwards. Couldn't tell what we seen. I'll tell you, if that wasn't a Jersey devil, it was sure something mean and bad. And for half an hour afterwards, you could smell this smell like burning in the air. The Jersey Devil, I guess. Yeah. How'd you like that, huh? Well, that is the way the Jersey Devil was sighted in 1936. Now, they did find this guy's car all wrecked, and the two of them were just absolutely flipped out, these two guys. And they were known as very sober, solid, industrious citizens of the area. Oh, yes. This was not after a Saturday night at Fat Mary's. No, no. These guys were just coming home from doing some work, and they ran into this scene. And there were actual evidences that they had seen something. They really had. And for weeks after that, people combed the area. And there were all kinds of reports that things were seen. Just half seen in the darkness, something moving and then disappearing. And the Jersey Devil reappears at odd intervals. Like every 15, 20 years, suddenly it will be reported and seen, and some guy will flip. He sees this wild thing, and it's always the same. The descriptions going all the way back to the 18th century, the description of the Jersey Devil has remained consistent. And even the people who report it, who have not even heard of the legend, somehow describe it pretty much the same as it's always been described. It seems to have eyes that glow. This is the description invariably. It seems to have some kind of wing or appendage that is attached to it. And it is large. And after it leaves behind a curious smell of something having been burning. And this has been reported at 20 to 25 year intervals, at great sudden leaps in time. And just two nights ago, the Jersey Devil was again reported in the Piney Barrens. And who was it reported by? Well, you know, you'd always say, well, it's always reported by some totally off-the-wall sign painter or something, you know, who's been down at Fat Mary's. But this was a school teacher.
And incidentally, who was not familiar with the Jersey Devil legend? He had just moved in from Kansas and was teaching school in the area when the same thing happened. According to his description, I was just driving along this gravel road, taking a shortcut through the Pineys. I've been working late at school, having a thing with the PTA. I'm driving along in my Pinto, when all of a sudden I see coming along the road directly at me on this one-lane gravel road. I couldn't believe it. There's a car coming right at me. He's coming faster and faster, but the headlights are set so close together, it didn't look like a car. And then all of a sudden, without any warning, this thing leaves out a shriek. It just goes, ah! Ah! That's the most recent description of a sighting of the Jersey Devil. Now, some say it is the Mafia. Others say it's just a union organizer from Secaucus out to throw a little scare in the troops. And it's always described the same. I mean, so you see, Jersey itself, as a state, is probably the most American of all states. Possessed of devils. Possessed of Route 22. The alimentary canal of a nation. New Jersey is a state of incredible vitality. Have you ever seen the Jersey state flag? It's rampant, and it's a state flag that flies proudly over motels and service stations. Which, incidentally, is the natural business of Jerseyites, running motels, bars, and Carvel joints. And so, Jersey, we salute thee tonight. Possessed of devils, hounded by a consistent sense of having just missed out on history. You know, the Jersey was one of the strongholds of anti-revolutionary people during the Revolutionary War. Jersey has consistently been a little out of step, missing many major beats of its time. Yes, thousands of Jerseyites gave Washington and his troops a hard time when they went through certain areas of Jersey. Why? Well, they're from Jersey. There's no other reason. Oh, Jersey, we salute thee. Oh, Jersey, sovereign state. Oh, Jersey, magnificent empire. Magnificent home of the natural Slav. Oh, Jersey.
Perfect example of Gene Shepherd and his many talents, the Jersey Devil. So, as promised, I do have a recipe coming up for my brother Michael, so you're going to want to grab a pencil for this one, or a pen, anything that works. We're going to hear a little Carlo Brute before that to get us in the mood for some good Italian food.
Luna perché sei tanto triste e cos'è e non risplendi per me lassù tu puoi vederlo il mio cuore la delusione d'amore questo mio grande dolore. Tu sai che baci mi sapeva dare, ed anche tu non puoi dimenticare. Forse tu senti la malinconia, forse tu sai che non ritorna più, ma tu parli da luna perché sei tanto triste, cos'è? Tu vuoi soffrire con me? Solo me ne andrò seguendo il mio destino in cerca d'amore. Non ascolterò durante il mio cammino la voce del cuore. Solo la bianca luna al ciel mi guiderà, mi insegnerà la via e m'accompagnerà. Ma tu pallida luna perché sei tanto triste, cos'è che non risplendi per me? Lassù tu puoi vederla il mio cuore, la delusione d'amore, questo mio grande dolore. Tu sai che baci mi sapeva dare, ed anche tu non puoi dimenticare. Forse tu senti la malinconia, forse tu sai che non ritorna più, ma tu falli da luna perché sei tanto triste, cos'è? Tu vuoi soffrire con me?
Recipe for your basic fresh tomato sauce, the staple of any fine Italian meal. First, you start off with, say, 2 pounds of tomatoes, plump tomatoes ripe. Cut them into small cubes, medium-sized cubes. Salt them well, put them in a strainer, and put them one aside for about an hour. Let the water drain out of them. After that, take a pan. Put a liberal amount of fresh virgin olive oil on the bottom of the pan. Heat up the oil. Take 3 or 4 cloves of garlic finely chopped. Some flakes of hot red pepper in the oil. When the garlic is nice and just starting to brown, you throw the tomatoes in. Turn the heat up. Cook them. It doesn't take very long. Within a half hour, add salt. I like a liberal amount of fresh pepper. Just before it's ready, a little bit of basil, and that's it. Keep it simple. Delicious. Put over any dry pasta. And within 45 minutes of starting to cook the meal, you'll have dinner on the table. Enjoy. Buon appetito.
Can you get us a ride? Gotta make it through the tunnel. Got a meeting with a man on the other side. And Eddie, this guy, he's the real thing. So if you wanna come along, You gotta promise you won't say anything. Cause this guy don't dance. And the word's been passed, this is our last chance. We gotta stay cool tonight, Eddie. Cause man, we got ourselves out on that line. And if we blow this one, they ain't gonna be looking for just me this time. And all we gotta do is hold up our end. You stuff this in your pocket, it'll look like you're carrying a friend. And remember, just don't smile, change the shirt. It's tonight we got style. Jerry says she's gonna walk, cause she found I took the radio in hot day. But Eddie, man, she don't understand that $2,000's practically sitting here in my pocket. Tonight's gonna be everything that I said. And when I walk through that door, I'm just gonna throw that money on the bed. She'll see this time I wasn't just talking. And I'm gonna go out walking. Hey, Eddie, can you catch us around?
Thank you, Michael, for that tomato recipe. It sounds delicious. We have time here to explain the show and play you maybe a few more of Jersey's favorite sons. So what I do week after week here on the Radio Museum is I play people who had either radio shows overnight or people who were great storytellers. And also some great old recipes. So I'm happy to bring it to you every time I'm lucky enough to be on the air here on WGXC Acra 90.7. So if I stop talking, I might have the opportunity to play some more music. So thanks for listening.
Red wheelbarrow. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl and never ever think of calm. She your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call in the wee small hours of the morning. That's the time you miss her most of lesson. You'd be hers if only she would call in the wee small hours of the morning. That's the time you miss her.
Thank you for listening, everybody. I will be back next month, and I will be bringing you recordings from not only Joe Frank, which is an audio artist, great storyteller, but I will have a recipe from my blessed Aunt Gloria. I'm going to wish you a good night. I'm going to thank you for listening. I'm going to encourage you to keep listening here to WGXC, where you'll find some eclectic program continuing, music for open ears. I am going to turn down Duke Ellington and play a song I've been listening to for the last week or so. I switched.
a sweetheart. That is what you said to me. You handed me a shot glass, and I drank down hungrily. I was lost in dreams of sweet things running through my head. If it wasn't for